My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Much of the world in which we live would claim that they truly are disciples of Christ. Who is a disciple of Christ? And if I wanted to become a disciple of Christ, what are some things I would have to have in my life so that I could be a good follower or a good learner? And as I've already suggested, this is not going to be something that everyone fits. This is not a category that all the world, although they may claim, is a part of. It's something we must work on every day. Look in Matthew chapter 10, and I want us to read verses 24 following together. Jesus said, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known." Jesus says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from the Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." No doubt the words of Jesus in this text teach us great principles. But I think these principles suggest to us an overall greater theme. A theme that Jesus begins with in verse 24 about being a disciple. What does it mean to truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Number one, I want to suggest to you first and foremost that a disciple must learn his place as a follower. Look at what Jesus says again in verses 24 and 25. A disciple is not above his teacher. A servant is not above his master. This teaches each one of us that if we're going to be disciples of Christ, we've got to learn what our place is. Too many times what's wrong in the world today, especially as it relates to Christianity, is that we want to tell the Lord what we think ought to be right. Or when Jesus says something, if it fits, then we want to wear it. You see, that's not the place of a disciple. As a disciple, I am to get in line behind the Savior and follow His teaching. So, what is the place of a disciple? A disciple very simply means, in the Greek language, learner. As a disciple, I am to be a learner of the Master. You know, Jesus is called the Master Teacher. And as we look to the life and example of Jesus, His disciples said to Him in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, "Lord, teach us." And friends, that's the attitude of a true disciple today, to be a learner of Jesus Christ. As we think about being learners of Christ and our place as a learner, may we be reminded that Jesus is able to teach us the greatest principles for this life and for eternity. As a learner, I need to look to Jesus for the answers of what this life is all about. We live in a world that sometimes wonders why it's here, and where it's going, and what's life all about. Jesus makes it very clear that life is about serving God and following Him, doing the Father's will. When He asked what the greatest commandment was in Mark chapter 12, Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and great commandment. And so as we think about life, Jesus teaches us as learners how to live the best life in the here and now and for eternity. Remember what Jesus said in John 10, verse 10? "I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I'm here to serve God and to make ready for my soul so that one day I can live with Him for eternity. Isaiah said long ago in Isaiah 43 verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. God said we're created to glorify him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31, whether we eat or whether we drink, we do all to the glory of God. And so I'm here to worship and serve and to glorify God. I'm here to learn how to go to heaven. Friends, that's what life is about. Listen real carefully. If your life serves any other purpose than preparing your soul for eternity, you've missed the whole point of life. This earth in which we now live is our chance, our one and only chance to prepare to live with God for eternity. And if your life is seeking any other goal besides that, if that's not the first goal, then you've missed the whole point of being a disciple and being what life, or understanding what life is all about. I want you to look at the words of Jesus. We looked at it many times before, but I want you to turn to Mark chapter 8, and I want you to look at the text with me. This is such an important passage that teaches us the importance of making ready for eternity. Look in Mark chapter 8, and I want you to look in verses 36 and 37. Notice the questions of Jesus. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. Jesus says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Imagine if you could accumulate all the wealth in the world. Jesus said, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and your soul is lost? Or on the judgment day, what can you say? Here, God, I'd like to buy my soul, which I didn't make ready for now. Jesus says, you can't do that. Now is the time to make ready. And thus, as we put ourselves in the right place, the disciple, we are a learner of Jesus Christ. Jesus suggests, turn back to Matthew 10, in verse 24 and 25, that our place as a disciple not only is to be a learner, but is to be like the Savior. A master must be like his, or a learner must be like the master. A servant must be like the one he serves. And thus today, we are to learn to be like Jesus Christ. Remember the words of 1 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22? Jesus said that Peter said we're to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, a passage that I love dearly. Here Peter and John are questioned about why they did these things, and they began to respond biblically. And so they realized, hey, these are just fishermen. How can they say these great things? And then, the text says, then they realized they had been with Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 4, a scene is set of the redeemed, and these are they who follow the Lamb, wheresoever He went. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, imitate me, as I also imitate Christ. And so, as a learner, I've got to get in line behind the Savior, learn from Him, and try to emulate Him in every way. That's what my life is about. The question has often been asked, what would Jesus do? And although I don't know that that question is sincere by much in every way, it is a biblical question. What would Jesus do in this situation? That's what a disciple asks. That's what a learner does. What would the master do as he faces this situation? Look back to Matthew chapter 10, and we're also going to see that as a disciple, as I learn my place as a learner, one to be like the Savior, I'm also going to have to realize I might have to live with ridicule. Look what Jesus says in verse 25. Disciple must be like his teacher, a servant like his master. Now notice, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more those of the household? As a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, nobody ever promised it would be all roses. You have got to learn as a disciple that there are going to be times you might have to live with ridicule. When the rest of the world wants to go down the wrong path and you oppose that and live correctly, it doesn't always bring good things. People might call you names, might call you weird, might call you square, might say things about you that are meant to hurt you. But remember, as a Christian, you've been called to follow Christ, and no matter what anybody says, it's what God says that matters. Paul said in Galatians 1 verse 10 that he was trying to please God, not men. And so the same must be true for us today. Young people, listen very carefully. Your friends and the ones who you go to school with, ones who you may hang around with, they may make fun of you, and they may call you names, and they may try to pressure you to do things that Jesus would not do. Remember this, if you are going to be a disciple of Christ, no matter what, people say, you've got to follow Jesus. Don't let the world pressure you. Let Jesus transform you into who He wants you to be. And so, what is a disciple like? He first must learn his place behind the Master, like the Master, and he must live with ridicule. But look a little further in Matthew chapter 10 with me, and I want you to notice what Jesus teaches us as well. A disciple must learn who to fear. Look in verse 26, and then I want you to look in verse 28. Jesus says, therefore, do not fear them, the world, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will be known. Now look especially in verse 28. Jesus says, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The principle is clear here. As we learn who to fear, we learn not to fear the world and the devil and all the wiles that he may throw at us. You see, much of society has been taught to live in such a way that everybody is happy with you. Friends, the world is not always going to be happy with you. The world was not happy with Jesus. Why do you think they crucified him on a cross? Because he didn't always align with their way of thinking. And thus, as a Christian, I have to learn who to fear and who not to fear. Jesus says, don't fear him who can only destroy the body. If someone can kill you, is that the type of person you ought to fear? Now, I don't want to lose my life, and I don't really want to die. But should I fear people just because they've got a gun to my head and say, if you don't deny Christ, you're going to die? Or if you don't change your way of thinking, that's it for you? Man, they've just done you a favor if you're a child of God. For the Bible says, blessed are they who die in the Lord. Revelation 14:13. Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And so we must not fear just the ones who can kill the body. Remember, the New Testament Christians in the book of Acts are a prime example of this way of thinking. Acts chapter 4, they're told, don't you say anything in the name of Jesus anymore. We're not going to have any more of that. And they gave them stripes on their back. And in Acts chapter 5, right after that, daily in the temple and from house to house, they ceased not teaching Jesus as the Christ. Why? Acts 5 verse 29, we ought to fear God rather than man. Who should you fear? Don't be afraid of what the world thinks or what the world can do to you or all the tricks it may throw at you. Fear God rather than man. Isn't that the principle of verse 28? Don't fear him who can just kill the body, but who do you fear? Fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hellfire.